Support for this episode of the podcast comes from our patrons at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/chasingearhart to join the chase and become a patron today. On the morning of July 2nd, 1937, Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan disappeared over the Pacific Ocean without a trace. 81 years later, all over the world lie scattered pieces of their puzzle, waiting to be put together. Welcome to Season 2 of the Chasing Earhart Podcast.
One, booster ignition, and the final liftoff of Discovery.
Discovery now making one last reach for the stars.
Most people don't get interested in aviation. They just think, oh, it's an airplane, it gives you travel, but it's more than that.
That first view out the window is, it's overwhelmingly impressive.
You don't really see borders anymore. You just kind of see the whole world as a place to explore.
I could feel the aircraft accelerating and lifting off the ground, and it was so beautiful and so romantic. And from that moment on, I knew this is what I want to do the rest of my life.
Why let someone else tell you what you can do and what you can't do, or let someone else put an idea into your head of what you can do? You're in control of that.
Because this pursuit of becoming an astronaut, of going to Mars, has led me to have so many fantastic experiences in my life.
It would be terrible if you went out into the working world and you had a job that you just hated. Try different things.
I would say passion comes when you find what you love. It's something, it's a result of that. It's not something people just wake up and have.
Girls are taught to be girly and images that they can't live up to, and I think they just stop believing in themselves.
Don't be afraid to go be the only person there. Don't be afraid to be the first, you know. You might be the first person to do something, and that's okay.
It's not the thing that you do for anybody else. And when people doubt you and don't think you can do it, just because they can't doesn't mean you can't.
Fly Like a Girl is more than just a film. It's a movement of young girls and women relentlessly pursuing their passion for aviation, a field currently dominated by men. Hearing firsthand stories from girls and women who dared to aim higher, from a Lego-loving young girl who includes female pilots in her toy airplanes, to a courageous woman who helped lead shuttle missions to space, Fly Like a Girl shows us that women are in charge of their own destiny. As part of the Indie Atlantic Films team for over 12 years, filmmaker Katie Wyatt has produced, edited, and directed films for both broadcast and web. And now, Katie has made her feature-length directorial debut with the extraordinary documentary, Fly Like a Girl. Tonight, as Season 2 of the Chasing Earhart podcast winds down and before we fly off into the sunset, Katie joins us to discuss this groundbreaking film, her thoughts on women in aviation, and why she felt that Amelia Earhart deserves a place in Fly Like a Girl. We don't get very many guests on the show that I consider to be a kindred spirit to me personally regarding what we're doing, but tonight is one of those very rare exceptions. Joining me via Zoom is filmmaker Katie Wyatt. Katie is here to talk about a project that is currently making the film festival rounds and performing really, really well, and it's a film that's close to my heart personally. That film is, of course, Fly Like a Girl, and that director, Katie Wyatt, is here. Katie, welcome to Chasing Earhart. What a genuine pleasure.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm really excited to talk with you and excited to see how your project is developing and follow along on the podcast. I know you've talked to a lot of great women and men alike, and just real excited to be here.
Now, Katie, before we dive into your remarkable film tonight, we have to get a little housekeeping out of the way. Can you start off by telling us a little about your education and your professional background leading up to this project?
I should go back a little bit. I went to a performing arts high school in South Florida, and I was a communications major. So I did film and television and TV production and all that stuff there. And then graduated and went to college and decided I wanted to be a teacher. So I taught for several years in the public school system in Florida. Loved it. Had a great time teaching. But all along the way, my brother had actually started a film company when he was in college called Indie Atlantic Films. And I was working with him on the weekends, just kind of helping out here and there, and helping on some projects. And along the way, my husband actually started working with him as well. And I just came to a point in my teaching career where I felt like I was really still loving teaching, but wanting to get more into the production world and needing to do it more full time. And so I made the jump to go into full time production work as opposed to just doing it on the nights and weekends, and haven't really looked back since. But I still miss teaching and education and love the school system and really admire what teachers and administrators are doing on a daily basis.
And that brings us right into Fly Like a Girl. The most obvious question is, what was the driving force behind this particular project, and how did this project come to you?
Yes, so I actually had the idea for Fly Like a Girl while I was teaching. I was working, it's a very specific story. I was working with a group of students and a small group at a table. We were working on math, and there was a young woman in the group. Her name was Bonnie, and she was really struggling with a math question. And she said to me, you know, Miss Wyatt, a lot of girls just aren't great at math. So I'm probably one of those girls. And that really struck a chord with me because it brought me back sort of to my fifth grade experience where I had a teacher tell me that, you know, some girls like me weren't great at math. And I wasn't a strong math student. I did struggle with it. But I felt like I gave up in that moment. And so I didn't want Bonnie to have the same experience I did. And so, you know, I worked with her a lot, did a lot of different things. And she actually ended up being one of my best math students by the end of the year and did great on testing. And just, she was phenomenal and loved math in the end. It wasn't just that she was good at it. She really enjoyed it. And so I started really thinking more about how the girls in my class talked very differently than the boys a lot of times. You know, they were great. They would say, I'm great at reading and writing, but when it came to math and science, they sort of shied away from those subjects. And so along the same time, I had been doing some work with, we have a wonderful program here in Lakeland called the Sun and Fun Aerospace Center for Excellence. It's part of the Sun and Fun International Fly-In. It's their educational component. And so we had actually been doing some video work for them, and we're talking to them, and they came out and did a field trip at our school, and it was amazing. And the girls in my class in particular, there was a woman that came that day, and she wore her flight suit, and the girls in my class like lit up. And it started me thinking, is this something they've even seen before? They'd never seen a female pilot, that kind of stuff. Well, around the same time, I also saw Patty Wagstaff fly. And if you've ever seen Patty Wagstaff fly, you know that it's incredible. And she just, I mean, it's just unbelievable to see. And so it led me to sort of research about her and who she was, which sort of snowballed into this wanting to know more about women flying in general. And then one day I was just literally sitting outside and I thought, I need to make a documentary about women in aviation. I knew that there's been some historical documentaries done, but you and I both know there's not a whole lot out there about women in aviation in general, historical and today. So I went to my brother and husband, who were working full-time at that point for our film company. And I said, hey, I have this idea for a documentary. I know you might think I'm crazy, but I really want to do it. And they said, let's run with it. And you need to direct it. And so that's sort of how it started, just really out of the blue.
Let's talk about structure, something that I know all too well. Now, once you decided to run with this idea, what were those first meetings like? Did you discuss layouts, ideas, length, direction? Let's talk about how the structure for Fly Like a Girl came about.
Yeah, so one of the things I knew early on that I wanted to do is that I wanted to tell the story of women who were actually in the aviation world now, mm-hmm. And doing things currently, because I knew that I remembered how the girls in my class really lit up when they saw the woman in that flight suit that day. I also, in talking to several other female aviators or women in aviation and seeing, I actually got to go to a women in aviation conference sort of earlier on. And I just realized the impact of actually seeing a woman doing a job that maybe a girl hadn't seen herself doing before. And so I knew I wanted to personally show modern day women. I knew that I wanted it to be a diverse group of women. And then I also knew that we needed to honor history as well. So one of the things I did was just kind of start going through some of the women that had inspired me personally, talking to other women about women that had inspired them. I know you talked to Jill Myers not too long ago, and she was really wonderfully helpful in connecting me with different women and giving me the opportunity to talk to different women in aviation. And they sort of said, well, I think you should talk to this person, or have you talked to this person? And it just sort of became this very wonderful process of getting to talk and connect with other women and finding out who I felt like we should interview. And so we kind of came up with a list, a wish list, if you will, and went from there and started contacting people. And it was incredible how the women that we contacted just said, yes, absolutely, I will do this. And so as far as like the we weren't entirely sure how the story was going to develop at that point. We knew we wanted to tell their stories because I knew the best way to inspire other people was just to let the women we were interviewing tell their stories. And so we knew that we wanted to do that, but we weren't sure exactly what the whole structure of the documentary would be. But then we ended up meeting a young woman who I don't want to reveal too much because she's sort of our surprise twist in it. And she actually is sort of the thread that pulls it all together. So it's sort of a mini documentary within a documentary. The women who we interviewed, their stories are what are the glue for the documentary. And they really, I mean, it's really neat when I share it with people. I had the opportunity to show it to a couple of people to get feedback, and every single one of them are just blown away. They said, I had no idea. I had no idea that there was women out there doing things like this, or I had no, these stories are incredible. And so it's just really great to get to see, allow their stories to really be what the documentary is about.
Okay, so for those that don't know, I am a hardware geek when you get right down to it. There's nothing like a good camera. So let's get into hardware. I've been waiting to talk shop with you for a while now. Can you tell us all about what types of cameras you use to shoot your film and maybe about some of the other hardware Indie Atlantic uses?
Yeah, so the runtime, we'll start with that. The final runtime is sitting around, without end credits, is sitting around 85 minutes. We wanted to do a feature-length documentary, wanted it to be the length that could qualify for film festivals, so we ended up around 85 minutes. Our equipment that we use, it's, you know, we've been filming it for the last 3 years, and I'm sure you know this, equipment, you sort of changed along the way, and I'm apologizing to our colorist every day for the different form, different cameras and all that, but we did use a RED camera. We also had a cinematographer that we worked with that uses the Alexa, so he, when he came alongside and shot some of our, well, the young woman that I spoke about before, that she's sort of the thread that pulls it together, he shot a lot of her scenes.
Sure.
And then also we used an A7S2, an FS700. We shot that in 4K. Okay. I guess, you know, the project's going to be 1920 by 1080 for film purposes. And it, you know, it just, it was a lot of different things along the way. It kind of developed and changed as, you know, We got different equipment, stuff like that. We also kept our setup fairly simple. We shot from three different angles on most of the interviews.
Okay.
With the exception of a couple where we were sort of limited on space, or maybe we had to only use two cameras. That's where the 4K was helpful. We use a lot of natural lighting in the B-roll. In the interviews, we had fairly simple lighting setup because we traveled a lot for the interviews. And sometimes we were in hangars or places where there's expensive planes and stuff like that. So they didn't want us lugging in maybe huge lighting setups, or we just needed to be able to travel on an airplane and it needed to be a little bit easier.
The trailer that you released for this film is extraordinary, and it features some of the same guests that we have on Chasing Earhart. Can you talk to us about the concept for the trailer? What did you want to show? How did you want it to feel? Walk us through that process.
When we were thinking about it, you know, music, you and I both know, licensing music and all that, it is like, that's a whole nother beast that is just complicated and hard. So we actually used, I think we probably just used a music licensing service and licensed a song from there for that initial teaser trailer.
Sure.
And then, which is great for filmmakers, especially documentarians, when you're working on a really tight budget, there's lots of great music licensing services out there that you can use. It's not always super expensive to do that. So that's what we did initially. In the actual documentary itself, we have an original, it's not an original song to us, but we did have an artist that we work with that is going to be doing the sort of theme song, if you will, I guess, or opening credits song. And then other than that, the music was through a variety of different avenues. Some people were very gracious and allowed us to use their music. They said, please just use it, give us credit. Also, we work with licensing services as well. Sorry, that's probably a little off topic with what you asked. But yeah, the trailer, what we decided is that it needed to be short and sweet and sort of get to the point and the heart of what the documentary is going to be about. And I still think that's the case. You know, those, what the women that you heard in the trailer, Olivia, Bea, and Patty, their statements are in that, in the final piece as well.
Yeah.
And so I still feel like it holds up and shares what Fight Like a Girl is about.
You just name dropped a few women that are, in my opinion, just phenomenal. Now, I know you can't give away everything, but can you tell us some of the women that we can expect to see in Fight Like a Girl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Patty Wagstaff, that was one of our first interviews, and I was so excited to meet her. I'd actually met her before, but to get to go to her hangar in St. Augustine, she is just incredibly gracious and just a lot of fun to talk to. We had a lot of fun that day, and I am grateful to her because I was nervous going into this. I'm not an aviator. I don't have any background in aviation other than just loving to go to the air shows. And I grew up in Florida, so seeing a lot of space shuttle launches, always been very interested in it, but not, I would not consider myself an aviator by any means. I fly on planes as a passenger. And so she was wonderful, and it really set the tone for all the interviews after that. And just making them more of a conversation than a formal interview.
Yeah.
Then, we actually interviewed, a young woman from Lakeland, Olivia. It was Olivia Lisbon at the time, but she's since been married. It's Olivia Stansel. She was one of the first graduates of an aerospace program we have, out of Polk State College here in Lakeland. And I really wanted to interview her because I felt like she showed how anybody can get connected with aviation. She didn't even have an interest in aviation until she was in high school.
Yeah.
And it was by chance a teacher mentioned to her that she should check out this aviation school in Lakeland. And so I felt like she grounded it and made aviation seem a little more attainable to a young woman or a girl out there watching the documentary. Of course, we also interviewed Bea Haidu, who you mentioned, one of the WASP. She was fun, a lot of fun. And she remembers everything. And it was really funny. She actually was just very gracious and welcoming. We did the interview in her home, and we had a lot of fun. She was giving some of the guys on our crew a hard time, and so that was a lot of fun for me. We also got to interview Senator Tammy Duckworth, who some of you may know. She was a Iraq War vet, Purple Heart recipient, has an incredible story. She flew the Black Hawk helicopter. We interviewed Vernice Fly Girl Armour, who is just tons of fun. She was the first African-American female combat pilot. Great, great speaker. And just, she was just tons of fun. We didn't want to leave. In fact, the person who was with her that day was starting like, all right, we got to go. Like, we have to be at the next thing. But we were all having a lot of fun together. Abigail Harrison, she is an aspiring astronaut. You know her. She's been on your panel, and founder of the Mars Generation. That was a lot of fun because we got to do that interview at Kennedy Space Center in front of the Atlanta Space Shuttle. We were all sort of geeking out over that and just really enjoying that. Taylor Richardson, who actually, she got to go to space camp because of the Mars Generation. And she is also an aspiring astronaut. And a STEM activist. She does a lot to get other young people involved in STEM. Let's see, there was also Abingdon Mullins, who is the founder of the Abingdon Watch Company, also a professional pilot herself, an incredible commercial pilot. She's a lot of fun to talk to as well. Has a really neat story about how she stepped away from aviation and came back later on. There's a few other people that are in it that I think I'll just kind of like leave it for the documentary. But yeah, those are our, we had several subjects that were pretty exciting to get to interview, and everybody was awesome.
Now, of course, this is Chasing Earhart after all, so I can't let you get away tonight without asking you about Amelia Earhart. There's a couple of splashes of her in your trailers that you put out, and I know she's in the film. Can you talk about including AE in Fly Like a Girl and give us your personal thoughts on her impact and legacy?
So yeah, she actually does have some part in the documentary, and it's not like as we don't have people specifically talking about just her, because we do, although we do have a history section, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a historical documentary from the sense of like what you're doing, where, you know, you're looking at the history of Amelia Earhart and really digging deep into that. Although we do have, I think even by having somebody like Bea Hadoo in it and stuff like that, her story throughout it, that is part of history. Yeah. But it's so great that it's like a living history. You know, we still get to talk to her and see her. But then we do have a section. We had the great opportunity to go out to the International Women's Air and Space Museum and interview Heather Alexander.
Yeah.
Who is the director of the museum, and talked to her a little bit. She spoke a lot to the history of women in aviation and just how important those early pioneers were. And it's really interesting. If you talk to every single one of the women we interviewed, they all have a very specific person or woman that inspired them. And it's different. Everybody's was different, which was really cool to hear. But I think what's great about Amelia is that a lot of people don't know. Like if you say, can you name a female aviator? A lot of people can name Amelia Earhart, which some people are like, oh, I wish, you know, it'd be great if they could name more. And I 100% agree with that. And that's why we're doing this documentary. But I'm so grateful that they know at least Amelia Earhart, that she is a figure that we can look up to and say, there was a woman flying early on when it was very dangerous, when it wasn't the norm for women to be flying. And we have that in her, what she did. And I think a lot of people, you know, they just think about her death. But then one of the great things that I, you know, getting into this documentary is I was reading a lot about her and there's so much more she did in life.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think it's so great what you guys are doing, getting to know more about what she did in life. And that her story is so inspiring, you know, her attempts and not wanting to give up, especially when, you know, it was not popular for women to be flying. And I love, we have a clip of her in the documentary, and it's so like, just, it's interesting when I've watched people watch the documentary and when her face comes up on screen, people just light up. And I think she's one of those people that is sort of an iconic figure for all the best reasons. And that people see her and want to be more like who she was. And so, yeah, we pay tribute to her in it. And I think that she is still completely relevant in society today. And I when I taught fourth grade, actually there was two reading passages I used to do with my fourth graders. One was on Amelia Earhart, one was on Bessie Coleman. Mm. And it was always really neat to get the response from the students. And, you know, for some of them, it was their first time hearing about Amelia Earhart or Bessie Coleman. And it was just really cool to see and to introduce them to those women who are so extraordinary. So she's very much a part of the documentary, in a more subtle way, but she's there.
Katie, how can we follow this film online? Can you plug the website, social media, all that?
Yes, our website is flylikeagirl.film. And actually, if they go there, you can find links to all of our social media. So that's probably a really great starting point. On Twitter, it's at fly_like_a_girl. And Facebook is at Fly Like a Girl Film. And Instagram is Fly Like a Girl Film.
The film is Fly Like a Girl. And this has been Katie Wyatt. Katie, thank you for spending a little time tonight with me to discuss your remarkable film. Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, right back at you. We're excited to see the work you're doing and can't wait to hear more about Amelia. And I'm excited to just see how that is going to impact a lot of people, young women, young men, you know, old and young alike. So I think it'll be a great piece.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Chasing Earhart podcast, part of our Legacy retrospective series. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Come back to chasingearhart.com each week for another new podcast. While at chasingearhart.com, visit our archives and our blog to hear all of our past episodes and interviews with guests such as Brad Meltzer, Tom Benson, Candace Fleming, Jessica Cox, Abigail Harrison, and Shasta Ways. You can also hear interviews with representatives of all of the relevant hypotheses regarding the disappearance of Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan, such as Tom King, Dick Spink, Gary LaPook, Rick Gillespie, Andy Sherrill, and more. Also at our site, you can find hundreds more posts, project updates, and much more information regarding the life and disappearance of Amelia Earhart. The Chasing Earhart podcast is a show without any sponsors or ads. We rely on support from listeners like you to keep the Chasing Earhart Project operating. You can donate to the show, and as our thank you, receive bonus podcasts, merchandise, and advanced opportunities for Chasing Earhart events. Find a full list of available shows and rewards at patreon.com/chasingearhart. You can also follow the project on social media, where our team posts all of our shows, news, and project information. And that hashtag is @ChasingEarhart. The Chasing Earhart podcast is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by Tom Myers. Podcast music is provided by Dane Jarris Schmidt, and narration is done by Forrest Burgess. The opinions on Chasing Earhart are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Evan Films, Incorporated. Chris Evan Films, Incorporated is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. All movie clips and audio used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of historical education, and no infringement is intended. The Chasing Earhart podcast is an exclusive trademark of Chris Evan Films, Incorporated, and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Evan Films, Incorporated. All rights reserved. The Chasing Earhart podcast is a Chris Evan Films production. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.